You're listening to Packers Talk Network. PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Check New York Bozo! New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
I gotta get my biceps a little bigger.
Yeah, you can always work on that.
Well, I could sure use a hot dog with chili.
You know what time the game starts?
Hey, you got any left-handed footballs? We need to fire him.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me?
Good thing I'm in shape.
You got any eligibility left?
I got some advice for y'all. Take 2 weeks off, then quit.
Pack to the Future is brought to you by The Ticket King. Whether you're making the trip to see Aaron Rodgers and the Packers play at legendary Lambeau Field, you want to see Giannis and the Bucks at the beautiful Fiserv Forum, or the Badgers, Brewers, or any concert tickets you might need, The Ticket King is your source no matter the occasion. Visit them online at theticketking.com and search their selection for yourself. And remember, there's no such thing as a sellout when you can go to The Ticket King. One more time, that's theticketking.com.
We are back with another edition of PTTF. I am your host, Duke, and I am joined by Matt. Say what's up, Matt.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
The Packers have won again, and they are now 6-1 on the season, beating the Oakland Raiders at home with a score of 42-24, man. Matt, let's talk this win, man. What stood out to you? Overall with this game,
I'll start by saying that Matt LaFleur called an absolutely perfect game yesterday. Really tried to address some of the weaker points that I feel like the offense had kind of struggled with. The backup wide receivers hadn't really shown up in the last couple of weeks. Jimmy Graham wasn't getting involved the last couple of weeks. Danny Vitale, he was a no-show other than like one other catch, I believe. But all of those guys had fantastic days yesterday. Kudos to him for drawing up a really good game plan against a pretty weak Raiders secondary. And Rodgers having literally a perfect day. He had a perfect passer rating yesterday. Passed for over 400 yards and 5 scores. Really game plan for the Raiders coming in. The one other thing I'll say, and we'll kind of get to this a little bit more later, is I think the Raiders actually had a pretty good offensive game plan coming in, too. They definitely got after the Packers' defense a little bit, definitely with their tight ends and run games. So, a win's a win. It looked good on the scoreboard. There will be some things to kind of work on next week, though.
Right. Yeah, it was kind of a tale of two halves again, almost. You know, the first half was a lot of back and forth. I feel like they were kind of feeling each other out with, you know, sort of the execution and the game plan. And, you know, we'll just start with this, you know, some of the bright spots, you know, for the defense, you know, we can just go ahead and go there. It was the red zone. Listen, mm-hmm. man, when these guys needed to come up with a stop, when they needed to keep points off the board, I believe it all started with the, was it the Blake Martinez fumble
yeah.
there?
The fumble touchback. Yep.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
This guy, and you know what? I'm going to open up this can of worms. Might as well. We're recording. This guy is not getting enough credit amongst a big chunk of the Packers fan base. And, you know, I'm hearing people say, well, the guy just makes tackles. Well, did you not see what happened yesterday? I mean, this is a big swing, momentum shifting play in the game. The ball goes out of the bounds. The Packers get it. This, at that point, I believe it would have been 14-10. 17-7?
Mm-hmm.
It was 10-7, I believe, at that point. I think it would have been possibly a 17-7 game. What happens? You know, force fumble, ball goes out of the bounds. It's touchback, get the ball. Few plays later, you got Jake Kumerow diving into the end zone on the other side of the field, and the Packers were up, you know, 17-10 going into half. you know, the red zone defense, Blake Martinez, a lot of things I'm talking about right now, but these were just absolute, you know, strong points, man. So, you know, red zone was a definite thing that they improved upon this week, because at times the Raiders moved and we just saw that they clamped down when they needed to, man. I mean, that was one of the big highlights for me.
Yeah, and I know I've mentioned it a couple of times. This defense is bend, but they don't break very often. You know, they'll give up chunks of yards, and they'll kind of – they'll let some of the strengths in other teams kind of show on the field. Like you saw it, they moved the ball at will with their tight end. Waller had a phenomenal game yesterday, and,
yeah,
you know, Jacobs had a good game. So it's, you know – they let those strengths shine, but when the field gets a lot shorter, it's kind of funny. It's almost the opposite of the offense. When the field gets shorter for the defense, they get a lot better. They have the perfect personnel to defend in the red zone. And to your point, you know, Blake Martinez, you know, kind of struggles between the 20s a little bit more. He doesn't have that quick twitch ability like some of the other top-tier linebackers. So in coverage against Waller, he's going to struggle. But when the field is shorter and he's able to, you know, digest and really read the offense a little bit more, he's a little bit quicker. So they don't have as much room to operate. So, you know, you saw it on that play. He was able to stop Carr from getting in the end zone and cause a turnover. And then you can say the same thing with the defense on the goal line stand on Jacobs on fourth and one. You know, this team got really stout in the down and distance, and you saw Jair Alexander and B.J. Goodson come up with a huge stop at the goal line. So, all in all, the defense, you know, didn't have a great day at the offense, but I think that was part of the game design, I think, to a certain extent. Obviously, they weren't trying to give up 500 yards or anything like that, but
right.
I think they were going to kind of let the Raiders do what they do best and then kind of shut. I mean, you didn't see much out of their wide receivers yesterday at all. They did a pretty good job of shutting those guys down.
I
mean, it's tough to really knock Blake Martinez as the run defender. I still would like to see more out of him as a pass defender, but yeah, 16 tackles is hard to knock, but he might be a one trick pony, but he does it really well, man.
Yeah. You know, that's always been my thing, is that, you know, this guy, I believe he does his job well on multiple levels. And so, yeah, you know, maybe there's a little bit of the stigma of the one trick pony thing. It's like, okay, well, the guy makes tackles, you know, that's like saying the janitor sweeps the floor, you know, I mean, okay, we get it. That's part of his job description, but that's not all that he brings to the table.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he's been, you know, physically able. He's been tough where he's out there week in and week out. His durability is something that obviously our Packers defense has had issues with all across the board at every level of the defense over the years. And Blake Martinez has been just this cog right there in the middle of the defense, and he's been reliable. Not only that, you have to factor in and account his smarts. He's got this defense, in my opinion, in position at all times to make plays. You know, the Raiders tried to catch him a little bit off guard yesterday with some up-tempo stuff. And there was times where, you know, you could see that I believe there was a breakdown of communication between, I think it was Amos and Redmond or I forget who it was. That's when the tight end had that, you know, huge catch down the seam. But this guy is the guy that is getting these people in their positions. So in terms of value that I personally see that he brings to this defense, it's not just about the tackles, which he does really, really well. He does make plays behind the line of scrimmage. He does make plays on the ball. He does get his guys in position. He is a tremendous leader. Not everybody can wear all of those hats. You know what I'm saying? I think there's guys in this league that are undoubtedly more physically gifted and maybe have better, you know, speed and certain things that they bring to the game. But the thing is you can't teach speed, but you also can't necessarily teach, you know, the grasp and the IQ that he has to be able to, you know, put a defense on the field in the right position to make plays at all times. So I'm a big Martinez guy. I think he brings just a ton of great, you know, energy and leadership, you know, to this team. And you know, yesterday, yeah, there was times where not just him, but I believe Goodson, you know, Redmond, a lot of guys, pretty much it seemed like almost anybody that their tight end Waller went against, you know, had issues with the guy. So, you know, I wouldn't even just pin that on the inside linebackers. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. No, and it is tough to just pin it on any one guy, because you could say the same thing about the pass rushers then. Like, they weren't doing their job. You know, they really didn't sniff much of Derek Carr yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's hard to really base a lot of this on anything, because I have to give credit to the Oakland Raiders offensive line. They were down one of their tackles, and they did a phenomenal job yesterday. I don't if I could be wrong, but I don't believe the Packers defense got a sack yesterday.
I don't think they did.
Yeah, so it's really kudos to that unit, because they really were able to move the Packers pass rushers around. I know there are a few tackles for loss in there, and there are I'm looking at it now. There weren't even any QB hits yesterday. That's boy, I honestly, you know, thinking about that more and more, it's hard to defend for that long if your pass rush isn't getting home. So it's hard to really blame those linebackers for those inside linebackers or the safeties for letting Waller get open that much, because I mean, if your pass rush isn't getting home, at some point the coverage is going to break down.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's where again, I'm very, a lot of people are just saying, well, Waller had a huge day, and yeah, he accounted for two touchdowns, and he played out of his mind. He did, you know, he played really, really well. But that's not on one level of the defense, or even one 11th, as LaFleur calls it, of, you know, one guy on that defensive unit. You know, I think yesterday, yeah, you know, Gruden and you know, the Raiders coaches, kudos to them. They brought a solid plan into Green Bay, and yeah, they moved the ball when they you know, pretty much at will, but the Packers clamped down when they needed to. And that's a huge testament, once again, to not only, you know, a guy like Martinez for coming up with that play. You know, you mentioned, you know, Jair and Goodson. And then, shoot, Amos and Kevin King. You know, that was kind of the dagger almost, if you will, because that was just the third, you know, and kind of final red zone stop that said, we're not letting you in here that easy. And man, that was just a tremendous play by Kevin King.
Yeah, it was a tremendous play by both he and Amos. Amos kind of, it was a tip drill at that point. Like, he just kind of tips it up, kind of pushes it towards his own man. And, you know, Kevin King comes down with the interception. And he was inches away from another interception. Like, he high pointed that ball as well as he could. It was just a better throw and a better catch. Like, he was in perfect coverage two plays before that. And, you know, so that's the hard part about this league. You know, there are just going to be weeks where you just don't have it. And I'm going to be honest, I don't think the Packers defense had it 100%, but they did enough to win the game. They caused two turnovers at crucial times. That fumble in the end zone was absolutely crucial. And honestly, it was the dagger, because after that, Jake Kumerow scores on the touchdown. The Packers get the ball at halftime and they drive it down the field. You know, that was huge. That was a 14-point swing that ended up being a 21-point swing. So, you know, all that matters is, even in the games where you're playing ugly, if you can somehow still find ways to impact the game and make it, you know, turn the ball back over to Rodgers, you're going to win a lot of football games, especially with the way Rodgers played yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, you know, the way you're talking about that swing, you know, it was huge, because, you know, coming out of the second half, the first play of the game, man, you know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, you know, gets this huge catch and run. What was it, like a 58-yarder or something like that?
Yeah.
And, you know, he absolutely just, you know, made a phenomenal play. You know, Rodgers, you know, I was having flashbacks, Matt, of the 2014 Packers. I said, man, I have not seeing a team as dominant on offense and as, you know, again, also dominant on defense as this team, because something in me, and it's funny because, you know, I don't want to be a doubter, but the Packers have already matched their last season win total with six. in seven games.
And they still go to Washington, and they still play the Giants. They have some easy games coming up.
Yeah, and so my thing is this, Matt, is that part of me, you know, I mean, hey, man, you know, for what it's worth, we went through the 2015 season where they started, I think, 6-0, and then they really trailed off. And then we went through the 2017 season where Rodgers broke his collarbone, and we saw some really ugly games. And then, of course, last year, I don't have to explain any further what happened. We've been almost seasoned and trained to feel like the Packers are going to let us down. And seven games in, I'm finally having this shift where I'm actually a believer, and I'm going, this thing has totally shifted. You know, the defense is actually making stops when they need to. The offense is actually moving the ball when they need to. And it's such an impressive thing because let's give credit where credit is due. Coach LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst have absolutely turned this team around.
It changed the culture. It was huge. I mean, you brought in basically Gutekunst. It started with Gutekunst. So he came in and basically changed the mantra that Ted Thompson had, which was draft and develop at all costs. There was not a lot of spending in free agency. There was some. There will be some Packer fans that will attest that he did nothing in free agency, but he did at times dip into free agency, and it worked out pretty well. But Gutekunst's first couple of moves were he brought in Jimmy Graham. He brought in Mo Wilkerson, you know, really kind of a shift in tone. And then this offseason brought in a number of free agents, and all of them are playing really well right now. So, you know, and I think Aaron Nagler had a tweet yesterday that basically said it's kind of funny that Ted Thompson eschewed from free agency not to affect the locker room atmosphere and culture. And I mean, can you imagine this team without the Smiths right now and the attitude they bring to this defense or this team in general? Like, it's team shifting. Like, this is a completely different team than last year. They have a lot of confidence. And that's the thing is when you win six of seven games, that, you know, you only get more confident and you only build off of that success, and winning is contagious, you know?
Right.
So, you know, it's great right now. I still, you know, they're still going to have some tough games coming up here. San Francisco is going to be a really tough game. They look like a really good football team.
Yeah, they do.
So that's going to be a really interesting matchup. We're unfortunately slighted next weekend not being able to play Pat Mahomes. I'm a fan of football. I want to see Pat Mahomes on the field. But,
all right.
You know, so, you know, there are still some tough games coming ahead. But, you know, it is really a testament to Gutekunst for changing the culture from that aspect. But then LaFleur allowing these guys, you know, there was talk earlier in the week of them not able to do like sack celebrations and things like that. And it was, you know, he kind of acquiesced a little bit after that, you know, it was more along the lines of as long as you get off the field quick enough. So,
right.
You know, letting these guys be what, you know, what they want to be, you know, I don't think that was necessarily something that McCarthy let these guys do. So really a complete culture shift, and, you know, it's tough not to see how much of an impact it's made.
Yeah, it's been tremendous. You know, culture shifts, the exact, you know, terminology that needs to be used here, because you see guys that are having fun in this game. And that's what it is, man. I mean, at the end of the day, Matt, these guys are, you know, they get to do what all of us as kids probably dreamed about doing, which was, you know, having fun and making a ton of money doing it, you know. Yeah. And they're an extremely, you know, blessed position to be in. You know, obviously not everybody can do what they do, but, you know, to see Aaron Rodgers, you know, after the first, you know, game of the season say, oh, we got a defense, you know, he wasn't even concerned about how many points and stats and numbers or whatever that he put up, because mm-hmm. he knew it was going to come. And now we see that it's like, you know, the offense is picking up steam, and it's like, holy cow, man, this is looking like a really complete team at this point, where the defense is doing their job, the offense is doing their job. We're seeing complimentary football. We see guys high-fiving on the sidelines. Coach LaFleur, yeah, he's letting them be themselves. And I get what he was saying. All he, you know, the whole – now celebration thing was just simply about being aware what the down and distance was, at what juncture you're in the actual game. Don't go to the end zone and take a picture and then, you know, have, you know, a false, you know, or whatever, like, you know, 12 men on the field the next play, mm-hmm. or whatever. You know, it's just situational awareness. He wasn't necessarily saying like, oh, you guys are, you know, too hype. I'm going to put out your little fire and burst your little bubble. No, man, he loves the hype. I mean, he actually loves the fact that this team is getting to play, you know, their type of game. And there's some great personalities on this team
mm-hmm.
that are getting to shine, and they're actually becoming leaders of this team. And we haven't seen this, you know, Matt, for quite some time. You know, there was a time, you know, back around 2009, 10, 11, when that defense and those teams had some swagger, you know, if you will.
A lot of swagger.
And, you know, we had Charles Woodson, and we had Nick Collins, and we had the young Clay Matthews, and there was a bunch of swagger. And, you know, it diminished over time. It just, guys maybe changed, you know, obviously a ton of turnover, and it wasn't there anymore. Yeah. And now that we actually see this, and we see young guys too. I mean, we see the Tony Browns, and we see other guys, you know, Jair, you know, that are bringing a ton of swagger to this team and backing up their play. Because I like that they're not just talkers, man. These guys are actually playing some really, really solid ball. And, dude, you know, the Packers are back, man. What else can we say? They're 6-1, man.
And I like kind of the younger guys stepping up in that regard too, because the other two that I thought – have brought a lot of swagger and have backed it up. Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams are also two of those guys who are a little bit younger, but they bring a ton of swagger and a ton of fun to this team. Obviously, I'm a big fan of Aaron Jones waving goodbye to the Dallas Cowboys.
Me too.
You know, Jamal. but Jamal Williams does his touchdown dance. You know, it's these guys are a lot of fun to watch, and it's good to see that they're enjoying themselves, because you know, you don't want to see a bunch of robots either. Like, this is entertainment. Like, we want to be entertained. And I felt like oftentimes under the McCarthy era, they just weren't able to kind of do a lot of those things. Like, there weren't many sack celebrations. Like, Clay Matthews is the only one that I think got the green light, and he took every advantage of that.
Right.
But, you know, it is good to see that culture shift happen. And I think that's just natural with, like, there was a changing of the guard that needed to happen after that 2014 team. You know, they had a lot of older guys. So there was a youth movement that needed to happen. And you're seeing it now. Like, now all these guys are starting to get in their second and third year. You know, Jair Alexander's in his second year, Kevin King in his third, the running backs in their third, the wide receivers are all pretty much in their second or third year. You know, you're seeing a lot of swagger out of those guys. And then it's nice to have the veterans there, like the Smiths, you know, who have been there before. Also bring in a little bit more of that swagger too. So it's good to see. But you know, they gotta keep backing it up. And I look at that 49ers game as kind of that opportunity to do that. I know they laid an egg, unfortunately, against the Eagles, who are now kind of falling off the map a little bit. But you know, that's another opportunity to really prove that that swagger isn't just talk, and it's, you know, they can really back it up. So I do want to get to the offense here, because I think we've kind of been stepping away from it a little bit, but we cannot let this go, you know, untalked about. There's so many things I'm excited about with this offense from yesterday and how good they looked.
Yeah. Well, most definitely. So let's dive into it. Let's start off with, I think, one of the redemptive plays of the game. Aaron Jones shows his hands on that touchdown catch, making an excellent, just, you know, shift of his body, turn around to nab that ball in the end zone, which was a total, you know, redemptive move, you know, because he obviously had the one, you know, literally off his hands, you know. I mean, it was almost an identical play. And, you know, something else that I had saw was that from Aaron Jones, that he is so special behind the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy has the ability to make something out of nothing. There was three or four, five plays maybe where he turned potential losses into 3 and 4 yard gains. So talk to me about Aaron Jones, man.
What's not to love about it, man? And I love, and I absolutely love that LaFleur and Rodgers went back to him the next week, trusted that, I mean, how wide open was he last week with that play where he dropped it? You have to be able to trust those plays. You have to, even if the player drops it, you have to go back to it, especially if it works. I'm so glad they went back to it. It was, and people kind of knocked the Rodgers throw on that. That was the only window he had for that. So Jones had to readjust, but he had such a great play on that. That was such great body control, great hands. And that's the thing is he was a great receiving running back and coming out of college. So I was never worried about Aaron Jones, the receiver, after one bad drop last week. So I'm so glad they opened that playbook back up for that play and to involve the running backs in the passing game more. You saw it. It was such a huge part yesterday. But, Aaron Jones can be an even bigger part of that just with his ability to make tacklers miss in open space. That's where you want him. You want him on the boundaries a little bit more so he can make, he can evade tacklers and pick up 10 yards on a reception. You want him, if you have the ability to do a running back wheel route like they did there, he is the perfect person for that. There are a few other running backs in the league that are probably better than him, but in an Aaron Rodgers-led offense, he is perfect for that role. And honestly, yesterday he balled out, man. He had he had 50 yards running, and then I want to say 30-some-odd yards receiving.
He had another 33 receiving, which – he had 4 targets, 4 catches, and a touchdown. That's phenomenal production. And Jamal Williams,
no slouch.
He didn't get the rock. He didn't get the rock too much as far as in the run game. He only had 3 carries, but, he also had, 4 receptions, 26 yards, and a touchdown as well. And so, dude, we see these backs. And hold on, let's not forget, Danny Vitale had the biggest total of them all. He had 2 targets. 2 catches for 43 yards. I mean, the way he turned up field on that, little mismatch against, I think it was an outside linebacker that was covering him on that one play. It went for about 20, 22 yards, I think. Vitale is a weapon.
Yeah.
And I just think right now that Jamal and Aaron are getting, most of the football. There's only one to go around. But they've got something in Vitale, man.
Honestly, I loved how LaFleur utilized Vitale, too. He lined up at tight end a couple of times. Mm-hmm. That was a big question mark the last couple of weeks, is the tight end production has not been great. And for LaFleur to get a little bit more creative and line him up, he is that versatile. He isn't obviously the tallest guy playing tight end, but he's a big man. And he can do enough as far as an inline blocker. So it was good to see him get a little bit more creative, but I hope he continues to be creative with those pieces, because Vitale can be a weapon. He has good hands. He's good out of the backfield. I would love to see him lined up out wide against the defensive back. How awesome would that be to try and see, one of the DBs try and take down Vitale on the boundary, get wild with it, right? Like that's what we're all here to see. And that's why he is the Packers head coach right now, is because he found creative ways. They did a lot of jet sweep motion and a lot of misdirection with Danny Vitale too. So it was just good to see him utilize Vitale a little bit more this week and be a little bit more creative with him. So I want to see so much more of it, but I also want to see it against, they didn't do it much against the Bears or the Vikings. I want to see it against one of these really good defenses, because I want to see the Packers absolutely take it to them. I want to see them run that football down their throat and pass it down their throat like they did the Raiders, because the way that offense operated with them being creative with Vitale, being creative with Lazard and MVS, that's the offense that can break, a game wide open against really good defenses.
Yeah, I think here's the thing that we have not seen in years past. And again, forgive me for my being conditioned to the past, but we are finally seeing guys' strengths be utilized the right way. Listen, I don't care. Everybody wanted to, deem Marquez Valdez-Scantling as a legit number two receiver. You know what? That's not even a factor for me. Nope. That's not even a part of a conversation. All I care about is the fact that if he gets two or three targets a game and does what he does with those targets every time he gets that opportunity, which he's done it in back-to-back weeks, he had two receptions yesterday for 133 yards for a 66.5 average.
Mm-hmm.
This guy can blow the top off a defense. And these are things that we obviously had high hopes for with guys like Trevor Davis, with guys like Jeff Janis, that really it just never came to fruition. For what it's worth, I don't really care about who's a number two, who's a number three receiver. The fact that we see them being utilized the right way is huge. You've got a 6'5" Alan Lazard getting passes high pointed to him on the sideline.
Oh, that was such a beautiful play.
Yeah, man. I mean, dude, it's like it's finally we're seeing these guys be used to their strengths. And again, a ton of credit to, you know, obviously Coach LaFleur, Hackett, everybody that's, you know, in charge of these guys. I mean, it's such a beautiful kind of harmonious thing to witness because the ball's getting spread around. I mean, there was 8 receivers that caught passes yesterday, and guess what? Not one of them was named Devontae Adams.
Yep.
How incredible is that?
Honestly, it really is a testament to LaFleur being able to utilize these guys the right way. And I think I tweeted something out about this either yesterday or today. I can't remember. The days are starting to blend together. But, you know, I equated Valdes-Scantling to Martavis Bryant. And I don't think I'm inaccurate in that assessment. You know, Bryant kind of fizzled out with some concerns as far as his character, and that's fine. But he was that deep threat for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they had a very similar receiver in Antonio Brown to what Devontae Adams is. He's a polished route runner. He has great hands, really, right. You know, shakes and bakes people at the line. You know, they don't need two, like, legitimate wide receivers. There are so few offenses that have that. They need players that play a certain role. And right now, right. I think once they get healthy and once Devontae Adams is back on the field, and this is kind of something that I maintain, Valdes-Scantling doesn't have to be an elite number two receiver. He has the talent to take the top off the defense, like you said, but he just needs to make you consider that every single play, that he can take the top off the defense if you're not careful. So for this team now to find somebody like Alan Lazard, like you said, and have that beautiful high point catch, he found the soft point in the zone and went up and got a ball. To have another threat like that on the boundary, and when Devontae Adams comes back, you know, all of a sudden this offense, who do you cover? Like, right. So you're using Danny Vitale, you're using Aaron Jones, you're using Graham had a great day. We'll get more to Graham in a minute, but Graham had a great day. Everybody had a great day yesterday. You have to focus on somebody, and in all likelihood, that focus goes on Devontae Adams, and you try and say, all right, MBS, Alan Lazard, Jimmy Graham, beat us. And
right.
What you're seeing in the last couple of games is Matt LaFleur saying, okay, you know, he's really right. Talent. You know, if you're going to give me that, I'm going to take full advantage of that. And he has game planned beautifully the last 3 weeks. And you've seen one really ugly win and 2 really good wins.
Yeah. Here's the deal. 6 different guys scored touchdowns yesterday.
Yep.
All with Devontae Adams out. Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, Jake Kumerow, Aaron Rodgers runs one in, Jimmy Graham, and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. I mean, are you kidding me? So now you get, obviously, hopefully soon, because, you know, I love that they're winning games without Adams, but, you know, Rodgers himself said it. Hey, you know, we want that guy out there.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they're so fortunate to have not really dropped off production because, frankly, yesterday was the best offensive, I believe, you know, performance of the season. Just the way the ball was spread around, just how everybody got involved. And I mean, you can literally say almost everybody with the exception of maybe Mercedes Lewis and Darius Shepherd. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, even Dexter Williams was running the ball in the fourth quarter a little bit yesterday. So, you know, there was a tremendous amount of just generosity with Rodgers spreading the ball around. And, man, it shows what this team could be, how they can dominate an opponent. You get Adams back, and you're absolutely right. I bet Coach LaFleur is going to say, bring it on. I will beat you with my third, fourth, fifth, you know, guys on the depth chart if you want to key on Davante Adams all day. And Aaron Rodgers isn't afraid to – he's not just going to force the ball to Adams, you know, 20 times a game just because he's Davante Adams. Obviously, he's going to try to find the open guys. So, man, that is just so encouraging to see. You know, it was just incredibly encouraging to see. I tweeted this out. I was like, I'm not sure if this has even been said, but it was a LaFleury of offense from the Packers today.
I did see that one.
Yeah, because, you know, hey, man, this offense is finally humming. And, you know, I need to touch on something else because this was also something I had tweeted out. Who was it? Max Crosby from the Raiders sacks Aaron Rodgers, and he did the belt, man. Why would he mock the belt?
Why anybody would poke the bear like that is beyond me. We saw it with J.J. Watt a few years ago where he did it right off the bat, and then Rodgers went off. I want to say he had like 5 touchdowns in that game, too.
He had 6.
6.
I witnessed it.
Absolutely destroyed the Texans. But, you know, I think that this was the same week that Ben Baldwin came out with an article about Aaron Rodgers not being elite anymore, not being accurate anymore. And you have to think that Aaron Rodgers read that article because I don't think he's had a better game than he had yesterday. So it really is a testament to this coaching staff. And I think you'll hear a lot of LaFleur and Hackett getting a lot of the credit, but I think it has equally as much to do with Luke Getsy as the new quarterback's coach. I think, after there was some falling out with a lot of the quarterback's coaches in the past, and, Rodgers was close to a lot of the other quarterback's coach, but Luke Getsy was part of some of these better offenses that the Packers had. Like that revitalization under the 2014 and 2016 teams, you know, he was the wide receivers coach in 2016 with, you know, not a lot of superb talent on that and an aging, you know, Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb. And Davante Adams was starting to, you know, really pick it back up. And that 2014, he was an offensive quality assurance coach. And I mean, 2014, that's one of the best Packer teams we've seen in a long while. So,
right.
You know, I think Rodgers finally has, you know, a coaching staff that is succinct all the way through and has a lot of the same kind of offensive minds and is getting very creative with how to utilize his talents. And I think it took, and I said this before the season, I thought it would take like 5 weeks. It definitely took 6 or 7 weeks to finally see this offense humming. And it's, you know, you have a new offensive coordinator, a new head coach, a new offense to install. It was going to take a few weeks to kind of build, but you're seeing it now, and I am so excited for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this thing's finally humming. I'll read a couple of stats that I read yesterday. One says Rodgers became the second quarterback in NFL history to have 400 passing yards, 5 passing touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown, and 0 interceptions in a single game, joining former Washington quarterback Mark Rippon. So, another one that I had seen also yesterday was that Aaron Rodgers at one point in the game was 24 for 29, 355 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions for 82.8% completion. The only other game that Rodgers had with 25 plus pass attempts, 3 touchdowns, and 82%+ completions was the game I alluded to, which was the divisional game versus Atlanta, where he went 31 for 36 for 366 yards, 3 touchdowns, 86.1%. John Abraham mocked the belt. You just don't mock the belt, man.
Never.
Don't mock the belt or else Aaron Rodgers is going to absolutely just, you know, rock your defense and have his way. You know, I want to shift gears here just a little bit. Continue talking about the offensive side of the ball, but Aaron Rodgers, for the most part, was upright. He was protected. His pocket was clean. I want to talk a little bit about Elgton Jenkins, man. This is a guy, man, that, oh, Matt. You know, we had another second round, you know, pick offensive lineman a few years ago. And we all remember who he was. And his stint with the Packers, unfortunately, just did not go well. And that was Jason Spriggs. But we get this guy, Elgton Jenkins, who I don't really know if You know, I'm not a big draft night guy, but I don't know how many people really have this guy on the radar. But when the Packers picked him, I said, okay, well, I like it. You know, I'm thinking insurance. I'm thinking, you know, a guy that's, you know, maybe going to take a couple of years to develop. He won the job, I think, by what, week four? It's been a few weeks now, something like that.
The Eagles game was his official takeover.
His official first start.
Yep.
And so, you know, he gets that start. He gets on with it. And I have to say this, man, the offense has gone up a notch in, I believe, aggressiveness and just overall manhandling of opponents since this guy steps into line. I don't want to put it all on him, but it's very, very awesome to see.
Yeah, and honestly, I loved the pick when they had it in the second round. It was one where it was forward thinking. You know, you have Lane Taylor that's under contract only, I think, throughout the end of this year. And then, you know, right guard, you brought in Billy Turner, but you kind of hope that he can kick out to right tackle and then you maybe swing in Taylor or Jenkins, whichever one is back. You know, it was one of those like, oh, yeah, you know, this might be a future move that'll pay dividends next year or the following year.
Right.
It's unbelievable to see this in a rookie year. There are only a few guys where you're like, oh, my gosh, this guy's going to light the world on fire. Quentin Nelson's one of those in Indianapolis who's just, you know, on fire. But right now, Elton Jenkins has given a lot of these other guards a run for their money. You know, he might be putting together Pro Bowl type season as a rookie. Like, that's how good he's playing right now. It's really helping solidify the pass protection. He has some room to grow there, but boy, in the running game, he's just an absolute monster. And that's why I think you've seen such great run calls for Jones and Williams. You know, he's absolutely a people mover and a mauler. So, and it pairs well with that left side of the line. That left side of the line is going to be a real strength. As much as I'm a huge Bulaga guy, I don't think the right side is nearly as strong as the left side.
Right.
When you have Jenkins and Bakhtiari on that side. So they're able to move the pile a little bit, make some running holes for Williams and Jones. And really, you know, even against some pretty good defenses, you're going to find some running lanes. So kudos to him. I can't wait to see what he keeps doing because they're going to have some pretty decent offensive line talent on the roster for a while here.
Right. Yeah, you know, one of the things I liked, I believe it was a screen pass to Jones. You know, I saw Jenkins come out of nowhere and get upfield in a hurry. And he is a big man, and he was rumbling, man. You know, sometimes those guys look goofy in space. You know, that dude was out there, man, running. And I don't know who it was. I don't know if he got his hands on a linebacker or if it was a safety. But he absolutely mauled the guy that was trying to come in to make the play and make the tackle. And it was just, again, man, it's like I have to just go back to the beginning. I have to give a ton of credit to Gutekunst because, you know, what a phenomenal pick this guy is turning out to be. Now, I realize I'm not an over-hyper. It's still very, you know, young still in this season. You know, we're not even to the midway point of the season. But, man, we are seeing just – pick after pick look really, really good and really, really encouraging. And so it's a great thing to see, man, you know, for the O-line, another young stud, you know, just kind of working his way up, you know, getting back in there. I believe it was actually on that. It was on that screen pass. I remember because that it was a big play and the play was negated by a phantom Kummerl block in the back or whatever, but Jenkins, man, on that screenplay, I mean, that dude was out to absolutely just bulldoze somebody. And so, you know, it was pretty sweet to see. But, you know, Rodgers, you know, he had some amazing plays yesterday. I'm sure you did. You had to catch a lot of people were calling it NFL Blitz style. I don't know if you remember NFL Blitz, the video game back in the day. Aaron Rodgers has got this thing down where he's, you know, literally doing, you know, nearly no look pass. His body's facing forward and, you know, his feet are off the ground, and he hits, you know, Jamal Williams in stride with a perfect pass towards the sideline. I mean, like, how does this guy do this stuff?
I mean, he's been doing it for years, man. I don't know. He's not from this planet. It's so cool. I wish I had even like a fraction of his athleticism to be able to do any of that. But yeah, I mean, there's only one other quarterback that could kind of do that in the NFL right now. And that's unfortunately who will be missing from next week's matchup. But, you know, it's just so good to see him back and having fun. Honestly, yeah. It seems like the last 2 years have been an absolute grind for him. He's been hurt, really haven't been a great football team surrounding him. And now he has a great, you know, great circle of coaches. He's got a great circle of talent. It's going to be fun to see where this team goes.
Yeah, most definitely. I think it's trending in the right direction. There's some games that are definitely circled on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, you know, we're not even going to get past, you know, the Chiefs without saying that, hey, we got to go 1-0 this week. Mm-hmm. They still have a 4-2 record, I believe it is. And they're going to be a tough challenge for the Packers.
Yep.
Regardless if Mahomes is on the field or not, they've got playmakers on both sides of the ball at every level. And I guarantee that, you know, Andy Reid's going to try to win this game in whatever way possible. So, you know, even if he doesn't have his star quarterback, which again, I was looking forward to the shootout myself. It is what it is, man. You know, and I guarantee the Chiefs are not thinking about, you know, coming out of that game 4-3, you know, they're going to try to get that win. And the Packers cannot, you know, I don't want to say that it's in their heads or they're going to relax, but they just can't relax. They got to go 1-0 another week and just win these really tough games because, you know, you got the Niners that I believe kind of surprised a lot of people were playing some really solid ball in the NFC. We got teams like Seattle and, you know, who, you know, we may not see until, you know, the playoffs or what have you, but there's other teams that are really solid. But right now, I think it's just looking at this Chiefs team and saying, we got to go 1-0 once again. So what are your thoughts, going into this game? What are your, kind of your points of emphasis that you think the Packers need to really focus on?
Yeah, so the focus of the offense this upcoming week will be, you know, they do have a lot of skill position players in Kansas City. It'll be interesting to see how they stop, you know, an interesting running attack. You know, they have McCoy and they have the Williamses, who are pretty good in the passing game. So they're going to need to kind of focus on trying to stop those guys because, again, that's another kind of mismatch with those linebackers. And you kind of hope that, you know, one thing we haven't really talked about much today is Darnell Savage has been out for a while. And if they can kind of like get him back, you know, he would make a really big impact on this defense because it just changes the speed of this defense. Really, you know, his ability to cover sideline to sideline is something they are sorely missing right now. But then the other thing is, you know, I kind of want to see Ibrahim Campbell back because I think he would kind of fill that void that Raven Green has left behind. Will Redmond's done okay the last couple of weeks. I think he kind of had some rough moments yesterday. He had some decent plays against the Lions, but, you know, he might be able to match up against some of those shiftier backs. But then on the defensive side, this is kind of a pretty decent matchup for the Packers. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs are like the 20th or 21st ranked defense. So, you know, really see what the game plan LaFleur has for those guys. You know, Andy Reid's always going to make life interesting on the opposing defense. So I'm really more worried about how he's kind of schemed. And he does, I mean, in a lot of ways, he and Matt LaFleur, you know, play to their assets and they play to the skills that they do have. So I think you're going to see a lot closer of a game than people are expecting. You know, Arrowhead is not an easy place to go in and play. It's a very loud atmosphere. It's going to be, you know, lots of silent counts. So we'll see how this offense does with without, you know, huddling up after every play. So I think it's going to be rough sledding, but I think the Packers should be able to win. You know, this Kansas City defense is not prepared to stop this kind of offense.
Right. Yeah, I think definitely now that the offense has finally gotten their, you know, their flow going and, you know, Rodgers alluded to it a little bit, you know, just talking about how, you know, I think him and Matt LaFleur, you know, with the play calling and things, everything's just starting to really gel, and it's really starting to take, you know, flow, as for lack of better terms. But in that sense, you know, I think Kansas City's going to have their hands full. Again, the Packers are showing that they can beat you in multiple ways. And our defense, you know, obviously they came off of not the best performance, you know, to date. But hopefully, yeah, a guy like Darnell Savage is back in the fold soon, you know, or Campbell. And, you know, there's guys that I believe can get the job done. And so, you know, that being said, you know, I'm looking for the Packers to go 1-0 once again this week, you know, against Kansas. Obviously, at their place, it'd be great, man, to see the Packers be 3-0 on the road after this upcoming weekend. And so, with that being said, I think this is all for our episode today. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, you can find us at the PTTF Podcast. We are on Twitter. We're on social media. You can find Matt. You can find myself. Every single week, we repost, retweet these episodes. We just look forward to hearing from you guys. And so we appreciate all of our listeners. We appreciate everyone that takes out of their day to tune in and just listen to what Matt and I bring to the table. And so we just want to thank you for another week. Hey, listen, the Packers are 6-1. It's a ton to be excited about. This team is continuing to just move forward and exceed our expectations. And so with that being said, man, Matt, we're going to be signing off this week. I hope everyone tunes into this episode. Retweet, share with your friends. Matt, hit us off with a big go, Pack, go.
Go, Pack, go.